Good morning, everyone. Welcome. This regular meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission is called to order. If the clerk will please call the roll.
Commissioner O'Grady.
Here.
Commissioner Christensen.
Here.
Commissioner Malthko.
Here.
Commissioner Wyatt.
Here.
Chairperson Wyatt.
Here. And we'll move right into the flag salute if everyone will please stand.
The flag of the United States of America.
We'll move into public comment period. So anyone who is here to speak to items not on the agenda is welcome to come up at this point. If you will please fill out a speaker slip. I have one, Eric Greening. Anyone else wishing to speak, please do fill out a slip there in the back, and we'll be up next.
Good morning. I am Eric Greening. Happy Equinox. It was all lined up last night. The moon, the sun, Jupiter, and of course the year-over-year census data shows that the unincorporated area population is growing 9 times faster than collectively our incorporated cities. But we're not going to get a reduction out of growth. We might get slower growth in emissions than we otherwise would, but we are not going to get a reduction out of growth unless the sprawl is simply abandoned. And I don't see that happening. That's people's lives and property. I don't see it happening unless gas gets to about $20 a gallon, which might come. Where we will get reductions is from serious modal shift in transportation, from serious sequestration, and from an area that doesn't get a whole lot of attention, but I want to bring it up now because we're going to be talking about water. But right now I'm not on the agenda item, I'm just talking generically. A serious area for energy reduction is water conservation. The ecological footprint of the pumping of water, whether we're talking about drilling deeper and deeper wells for groundwater, or whether we're talking about what gets pumped over Polonio Pass, even though the pumping plants are on the other side of the Temblors, even though the major pumping is happening way up at Clifton Court Forbay, that is an energy footprint for which the citizens of our county are responsible. So let's recognize that there's a lot out there besides nails, and even though you are a body that deals primarily in land use, when the Climate Action Plan is before you, there are influences you can have on the whole picture, and there is a whole picture. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Anyone else here today to speak to items not on our agenda? Okay, seeing no one and having no more speaker slips, we'll close public comment and move into planning staff updates.
Hi, Cammie Griffin, County Planning. Good morning, Commissioners. Just a couple of things in Warren's absence. I'm here to remind you that you have a meeting next Thursday. So that's unusual to have two Thursdays in a row. So you do have a meeting on the 30th with a number of regular items on it. Also, I did want to let you know that for certain, the joint meeting between the Board and Planning Commission that was tentatively scheduled for October 12th will no longer occur. That will just be a regularly scheduled Board strategic planning meeting. So we're still trying to find a good date for a combined meeting that isn't specific to a specific project, but just a combined meeting for your Board and Planning Commission, and I'll let you know when we actually settle on a date. And that's all the staff updates that I had.
Exactly. Any questions for staff at this point? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Griffin. With that, let's move right on to the consent agenda. So we have one item on our consent agenda, the draft minutes of July 29th.
I'll make a motion. We approve the draft minutes for July 29th on the consent agenda.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on that? Comments on that? Okay, so with that, we'll call the vote. All in favor? Or
aye.
Do we need a roll call on these consent? No. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. unanimously passed. That's through our consent agenda. So with that, we'll move right into our hearing item of the day. If the clerk will please tell us what that is.
Hearing to consider a request from the County of San Luis Obispo for the Paso Robles Groundwater Basin Resource Capacity Study. No county file number, Supervisorial Districts 1 and 5, James Caruso, Project Manager.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hedges. So with that, Mr. Caruso wants to go to Mr. Stevenson.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman Wyatt and members of the Commission. Good morning. Chuck Stevenson, planning staff. We have a proposed schedule change for you relative to this item that we wanted to discuss with you in public this morning. As we have mentioned this to you individually and we've spoken to board members, your Commission's action on the resource capacity study is to determine its adequacy and to also make recommendations on mitigation for those conditions that are felt to be serious constraints on the basin to the Board of Supervisors. And as you know, and as many in the public know, there's been a great deal of interest in the Paso Robles Resource Capacity Study recently, both in press coverage and in a lot of letters and phone calls that we've received relative to this this very important regional issue. And it's been, I think, the desire of several of the board members to postpone their public testimony today and deliver it rather on November the 9th. What we plan to, how we would see this meeting progressing from that point would be to, once the public comment period is concluded, it would be returned to your commission. The commission may have some questions for staff, but we would prefer to defer answering questions. At this time, we'll take careful notes on any questions that we receive from your commission or from the public, take notes, and then provide answers to those questions so that the board and your commission could hear those responses together on November 9th. So basically, it would mean then closing to public comment, returning to your commission, and then following discussion, continue the matter to November 9th. Following the November 9th meeting, that meeting would be closed, and then your particular meeting would be continued until December 9th, where you would begin your deliberation on the adequacy of the resource capacity study and the mitigations for that. You may or may not conclude in one meeting, but however, whenever you conclude, we would be going on to the Board of Supervisors after that, likely sometime in January. So that is the game plan that we've arrived at. So I would like to just hand it over to you. I would mention, too, we are not prepared today to give any further staff presentation, rather just open it to the public with that sort of game plan in mind.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stevenson, for explaining that sort of last-minute change in thinking. First of all, I would just like to publicly confirm that all commissioners could make that joint meetings as proposed on 9 November. Is that the case? Seeing everyone nodding, so that works for the commissioners, particularly the two from the district. Okay. So first thing to confirm that. So my assumption is then that works, and that's something that commissioners are fairly comfortable with, unless somehow the public sways us otherwise here. Okay, so that's the direction we would be looking at going. So with that, I think we would agree more or less to open up public comment. More comments, Mr.
Just one last thing, in case the commissioner or the members of the public are curious. On the November 9th meeting, we have 2.5 hours set aside for that hearing, really a half-day session, so plenty of time to get a lot of testimony, answer a lot of questions, so that everyone will benefit from that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for informing us as to the time allotment then. So that's a fair amount of time for discussion then. Speaker slips are coming in, so we'll encourage anyone who would like to speak today to get them in, and as Mr. Stevenson has been, also to be able to come back and schedule time for that joint meeting on 9 November. But anyone is welcome and encouraged to speak today. So So I think if there are no more comments from staff, we will open up public comment then, and we'll particularly encourage questions so that staff can come back with an informed response to those questions on the 9th so that we can most efficiently proceed with the meeting then and make use of that available time. So please do think about questions in addition to statements so that staff can come back again and adequately and thoroughly respond to any of those questions. So with that then, we'll get right into public comment. And first we have Eric Greening up and on deck. Ray Allen Jr. And so if the speaker will please come to the available podium and the next speaker will come forward and be ready at the other podium, we can keep this moving along as efficiently as possible. And in case people haven't been here before, each speaker is allowed 3 minutes. And so you're welcome to make use of that full time if you'd like. Mr. Greening.
I'm Eric Greening, and I guess I will hold much of what I was going to say until there is a joint meeting that's an actual decision-making meeting, but I'm hoping one question that can be clarified now and not then is how this timeline relates to the resource management system findings that the board will be making, because obviously one of the likely outcomes of the resource capacity study is to have findings in the resource management system, and to have those wait a year when there are demonstrated problems now could be problematic. So I think that would be the main question on my mind at this time. I would also say that the RAC has made some recommendations relative to the water supply portion of the resource management system that might be germane on November 9th, depending on how it comports with the
additional monitoring wells. And this seems to be one of the things that's causing some concern, and I still think that those things are available, that information's available from Courtney and Pavro, that we could find the additional information that's needed to make good determinations without restructuring or coming up with ordinances and so forth regarding new wells. I think that information is already there and available if we would simply ask for it. And that's one thing I'd like for you people to put in your hat when you're considering all this, because when we start talking about additional fees and requiring different requests or requirements on any new wells, especially in agriculture, then that's a whole other ball game. I think we can do it. I think it can be done much simpler than that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Jerry Bunin, followed by Warren Frace.
Jerry Bunin, Government Affairs Director, Home Builders Association. I have a question. I'm curious about the 1.7 acre feet per parcel. That's three times the rate of water use for a home built inside an urban environment, and I'd like to have somebody explain how any parcel can use that much more water. The rest of this, I really feel like I've said all of this before, so you can listen and think, yeah, Jerry's right. What you have here is a non-solution solution. You've got an existing problem with water use. Regardless, if we ever build another new home in this county for the next 200 years. I'm not slamming ag. I'm not critical of agriculture. I support it. I like it. I eat food. Under this proposal, agriculture is free to continue using more and more water. And your solution for fixing your existing problem is to slow down the rate of future development. That will not only do nothing to fix your existing problem, the chances are it will aggravate your existing problem. Facts. In the last 4 years, your population growth in this county has gone up almost 5%, and your housing stock has gone up only about 1% in total. That means you have more people using the same resources and infrastructure without a single penny coming in for development impact fees to provide the new infrastructure and to meet the existing or future resource needs. If you're looking for a question for the future, I have one or two. I'd like to hear Mr. Caruso's answer to these. Is why not try to solve the problem? Why doesn't the county be more aggressive about going after the water resources it really has access to? You got 7,000 acre feet left in the Nacimiento project, and you got 16,000 acre feet left in the state water project, and we have been paying well over $1 million a year for access to that state water for almost 50 years. If we don't want it, why do we pay the money? If we have it, why don't we go get it and use it? That's enough to serve 100,000 people. It's simply a question of will and the decision to stop using water as a tool to control growth and use it to meet the growth that's going to occur naturally. Thank you.
Mr. Buenin, I see Mr. Caruso taking notes, so he'll be ready for
you. Mr. Caruso was very kind to me this week. He was very helpful, and I know I lower his reputation by saying he does a really good job.
He'll be ready for you on the 9th. Mr. Frace, followed by Dana Merrill.
Good morning. Warren Frace, Community Development Director for the City of Atascadero. I'm here speaking for the City of Atascadero. The City has submitted a letter to the Planning Commission dated September 22nd, trying to basically outline our position. The City has been participating in the RCS process through the RAC. We don't dispute that there's a serious water issue in the North County, and we do know that action needs to be taken to address that. What we're asking for is just some clarification in some of the conditions so that certain projects that are in process in Atascadero can move forward with a clarification that these actions wouldn't complicate that process. We've outlined in our letter what the request is. We know there's going to be additional opportunities to speak about this. We do want to just acknowledge
in Paso Robles, we operate several ranches around the basin and own properties there as well. I'm also on the Ag Preserve Committee, and I'm a past board member of the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance. I want to open by saying, you know, I think the wine grape industry has been pretty forthright in saying this is a problem we all got to work on together. So notwithstanding what I'm going to tell you today, we still think that's true, that we all have to do our part, and we're trying to. But I would like to point out that at this point, I think it's a good idea to continue, and I think it's a good idea to gain more information, because while there's a lot of things in the Few Growth Study we agree with, I personally know that on our vineyards where we do maintain records, we're between a half an acre foot and three quarters of an acre foot less than that 1.25 acre foot amount of water that was put across the board. So I'm not denying the water levels are going down, but you know, we got to figure out what's the deal. Is the basin smaller? Are there other users that are more? What exactly is going on? Vineyards are among the most efficient users of water in the whole irrigated ag scene. We use, you know, like I said, a half to three quarters of an acre foot of water, whereas many, many crops use 4 or 5 acre feet, vegetables, alfalfa, various things. So we are already saving a considerable amount of water versus other ag, which is not necessarily the good news because it means we can't save huge amounts of water from where we are. I also want to point out that whatever savings we are able to come up with, let's not look at that as the panacea of how we're going to get more water for cities or that kind of thing. I agree with Mr. Buenin that we need to take advantage of supplemental water sources to feed urban uses. You know, flat out, ag can't pay what it's going to cost. So it's not really an ag source, but that's one source. And the other thing is there's very little use of recycled water. We've got big golf courses in the North County. I don't understand why there's never any talk of putting any of those on reclaimed water. We are actually a model as an industry for other industries who are now copying our self-assessment programs, and we also have an ongoing study that will be completed next year that is being conducted by UC Ag Extension in real controlled circumstances to really identify how much water is put on a vineyard, and we don't have to debate about who kept the records or the records, you know, scientific or whatever. We're going to have that information. That's going to be very helpful, I think. So I think it's an excellent idea. Take a little bit longer to figure out where we are, and, you know, hear it from us farmers. We know we're obviously going to have to be part of the solution, but we don't want to be seen as so much a part of the solution. Everybody says, well, it's all done. They're going to save a lot of water. Now we use the water they say. That would be a mistake, in my opinion. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Ms. Left, followed by Della Barrett.
Hi, my name is Sue Left. I'm a resident of the rural El Pomar area, east of Templeton, and have a small vineyard. I'm a member of the Water Resources Advisory Committee and was chair of the RAC subcommittee that reviewed and commented on the Paso Robles Groundwater Basin Resource Capacity Study. I'm a Crescent subarea representative on the Paso Robles Groundwater Basin Management Plan Advisory Committee. However, these comments are my own. Although I spent most of my professional career and now my volunteer time involved with water issues, this issue is particularly personal. The well on our property draws from the Paso Robles Groundwater Basin. Our well has dropped 85 feet since it was drilled in 1998 and has dropped as much as 4 feet in the past month. It's clear that the level severity 3 is appropriate for the entire Paso Robles Groundwater Basin, including the Atascadero subbasin and the Estrella Crescent area of concern. And LOS 3 is the correct designation because the dependable supply will be depleted before the new supplies can be developed. The basin is either approaching its safe yield or is an overdraft, depending on which terminology you use. But the fact is the well levels are declining throughout the majority of the basin. Our well shows this, the county's 150-plus well network shows this, and no data has been presented to refute these facts. Some water duty factors need refinement, the groundwater model input parameters need refinement, and the safe yield may well be overestimated. By presenting various scenarios, the resource capacity study makes it clear that overdraft will be reached in the near future no matter what data sets are used. This is not new information. My husband and I attended a meeting of the North County Water Forum in early 2005 when the 2002 basin study by Frugro was presented. Their report showed that the basin would be in a state of decline at build-out. However, human nature prevailed and no one seemed to listen to where we were headed. Now we have more reports and more studies that once again conclude that the basin is in a state of decline and that overdraft is imminent. No new water supplies will be developed in the foreseeable future in our area. Water conservation and land use management are the only actions available to the county. The measures outlined in the RCS are just a good first step, and these must be adopted. According to the Department of Water Resources website, 29 counties in California have ordinances which address groundwater management. There are 22 adjudicated groundwater basins. Adjudication is a long, expensive, arduous process, which I don't believe anyone wants to go down. So the basic question we must ask ourselves is, are we as a community capable of managing our groundwater basin, or do we have to have the courts do it for us? The value of my property and all the properties in the basin is tied to the availability of water, and these will use less water. And we don't want to get into that. We can, when Sue Left talked about all the groundwater basins that are in adjudication, we don't want to go there. We want to be able to work together because it's a common problem. We all share this groundwater basin. There is something that, one addition that I would like to see made to the RCS, because I'm concerned about the impact of hundreds or maybe even thousands of undeveloped rural lots that already exist and have pre-existing rights to water. And this is something that the county would have control over. And an example of my concern is a current development near Creston, where there are 75 10-acre lots for which the developer is advertising that the lots have vast water resources, unquote. So at present, the county has no authority to require any water conservation measures on those or any other homes. So I suggest that you recommend changing the resource capacity study to add an amendment to Title 19, which is the building ordinance, that would require all new construction in a level of severity 3 area to provide some special water conservation measures to be determined later, whether it be turf, limiting the amount of turf or requiring certain landscaping or something like that. All the ideas on how to fix the problem are welcome, but I hope we don't delay this process as we talk about ideas coming forward. Your hearing here and your recommendations to the Board of Supervisors, and even if they adopt everything that's in the resource capacity study. That just starts the process for then the ordinances to be written, and the ordinances have to be reviewed at several different public levels. They go to the community advisory councils, and so this is still very early in the process. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Barrett. Ms. Sweet, followed by Michael Torp.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Sweet, and I live in South Atascadero. My property has its own well. Thank you for the opportunity to share my concerns about a few things from the perspective of my community. The North County Water Forum started meeting in 2008. I attended those meetings, as well as every Paso Robles Groundwater Basin Advisory Group meeting and several RAC meetings where the groundwater basin was discussed. Included in the Frugro West and Todd engineering reports are graphs and tables that provide estimated pumping for ag, rural, and small communities, etc., over a given period of time. My question is, where in the calculations and charts do I find the acre feet per year set aside as a safety buffer? A safety buffer comparable to money you have set aside in your personal bank account to be used in case of an emergency. I already conserve water to have a safety buffer, but don't ask me to conserve and do without so someone can make a profit by building more houses with the water I've saved. Atascadero, like other communities, have homes and subdivisions, such as Dove Creek, waiting to be finished. The city is looking at annexing Eagle Ranch. How are the water needs of those future homes going to be satisfied? Also, we have not yet had a resource capacity study for Santa Margarita. We all know that drilling deeper wells with bigger casings and installing more powerful pumps is no guarantee of water availability, quality, or quantity. Water doesn't go to the middle of the earth. I support the request for the level of severity 3 and the other recommendations in the resource capacity study. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sweet. Mr. Torp, followed by Lisa Bodrogi. Mm-hmm.
My name is Mitchell Torp. I operate a company called TGP West Incorporated, and I'm directly involved in irrigation pump stations and on-site power systems, especially in the Paso Robles agricultural area. And I can tell you that this issue is circulating, but is not really known yet by the agricultural industry, and that they have a lot of comment on it. They are also moving towards conservation methods on their own, building reservoirs, not pumping the groundwater during the primary season when we're having problems, which is during the summer. And I think we need to get more data to the public so they know what's going on with this process. That's all I can say.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Bodrogi, followed by Joe Plummer.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. My name is Lisa Bodrogi, and I'm the Government Affairs Coordinator for the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance. And we appreciate the opportunity to continue to work collectively with the City of Paso Robles and with your county government on groundwater management. We don't dispute the fact that pumping is approaching the safe perennial yield and that the Estrella sub-basin is showing levels of decline. We do agree that active management of the basin and the development of additional water supplies are necessary to maintain a reliable water source. But we'd be off as much as 8,000 to 30,000 acre-feet of water demand. And so that does play a significant role in the level of severity of the basin. And again, when they factored it out in the basic scenarios, they had 8 scenarios and looked at if the water used for vineyards was less, it showed that the perennial yield wouldn't be reached until 2019, which again qualifies under the level of 1 severity. But at the end of the day, we have a problem and we need to fix it. And our industry has come forward and is working hard to cooperate and be a partner in the resolution. The question is, how do we go about doing that? Some of the things that we have done so far is we have created a wine industry water committee that among the members represents over 15,000 acres of vineyards. So we have good representation to work with you in partnership. We have commissioned the UC Extension study, but we have partnered with UC Extension and helped cooperate to make sure that study happens. And as well, we have submitted groundwater management measures to the City of Paso Robles in their groundwater management plan. So again, we are at the table. We want to work with you in developing true solutions that address the real problems that we're facing.
Thank you, Ms. Bodrogi. Joe Plummer, followed by Mandy Pickens.
Joe Plummer, 1990 Wilsona Road, where I raise wine grapes and olives, both irrigated. I am a member of the board of the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance and a member of the Water Committee that Mr. Pedregi just mentioned. I'd first like to support her position that moving to a level of severity, level 3, is premature and I might say even irresponsible at this time because we simply don't have the information necessary to make the conclusions. Certainly the water tables are dropping, particularly in the Estrella area where I reside, but we are awaiting better quality information. One thing we know for certain is that the 1.25 acre feet per acre used for wine grapes is wrong. We simply don't know how wrong. Give us some time and we'll understand that. One issue I would like to address that's in the study is the outright restriction that's been proposed on subdivision in that area due to water. I own approximately 230 acres in the Estrella area. As I said, where I grow wine grapes and olives, I have two sons. Someday, if the bankers cooperate, they may inherit that land. I would hate to see an outright restriction on their ability to subdivide that land and live on it if they so choose to do. We already have processes and procedures in place to control subdivision and extra construction on properties. I would certainly like to see water be part of that, but I would hate to see an outright prohibition of subdivision in the area because it's going to have some significant impacts on property values, tax levels, and everything else. Certainly we have a problem we need to address. The problem's been there for quite a while. It's not going to go away very quickly, so let's work on it and not jump the gun and make rash decisions that have irreversible long-term impacts. The second thing I guess I would like to say about this proposed study is it will be great if you could collect 100% of data from 100% of the producers of water, but that's not likely to happen because, particularly in the wine grape business, many of us follow irrigation practices for particular customers that we consider to be proprietary business information, and we're not willingly going to give that information up without, simply not. It's proprietary business information. However, I do think we do need to do something that goes beyond wine grapes because particularly in our area, we have lots of irrigated pastures, pistachios, olives, alfalfa, and while wine grape acreage-wise predominates, I suspect we're going to find that the other crops rival us for total water production. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mandy Pickens, followed by Michael Wynn.
Good morning, Chairman Wyman and fellow commissioners. My name is Mandy Pickens with Kirk Consulting, and we represent a variety of property owners within this basin area, and we understand the issue at hand. However, our concern is of whether or not the appropriate stakeholders have been notified. As you know, there's some severe limitations proposed on these properties in regards to subdivisions and limitation on new development. And our concern is just have they received proper notification, and a question for staff and commissioners is there a more efficient way to do so? I know just recently with the upcoming SABRE event, our office has been requested to notify all the people within that area and sent out, 1,600 notifications.
But if the staff report for that could be out on November 2nd, then the RAC, which meets the next day, would be able to see your latest iteration in order to make comments in the following week. So if that's possible, we would appreciate that. Secondly, I strongly urge you to solicit specialized legal counsel in this joint meeting. By specialized, I mean people who, attorneys who specialize in water law. It's very arcane. It's the oldest law in the state. It is not what any sensible person thinks it should be, but it is what it is. And it definitely will constrain the kinds of things you can and cannot do when you see a problem like this. For example, be sure you understand the difference between overdraft, which the Tribune wrongly published, and safe yields, which is a similar but not the same thing. Secondly, be sure you understand that agriculture, overlying users, and mutual water companies absolutely have superior water rights to purveyors, such as cities, community services districts, and others who sell water. If this isn't crystal clear, you will make recommendations and maybe even attempt to impose policies. Simply, it won't hold up in legal challenge. And water being what it is, it gets challenged sooner or later. So I think that's critically important. Next, please consider the implication of whatever the water comes out on your plans to expand Shandon, Creston, any other community that's in that same groundwater basin. They are interrelated, and there are plans afoot to do this and that. Make sure they have water for it, because water runs downhill, so if you take it uphill, it's not going to be there downhill when they expect it. And last, please not only commit to water conservation, but tell us, is it conserved as a buffer for the people who saved it when we have long-term drought? Or is it just water you didn't use that somebody else gets to use in a development? We do need development, but we have to conserve water for the future, not just to let somebody else have it. And with those, I will conclude, reminding Mr. Bunin that the will to use Polonio Pass is measured by the willingness to pay for the water at Polonio Pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Wynn. Mr. Hoover, and if anyone else would like to speak, this is the last speaker slip I have. Please be ready to come up, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Paul Hoover. I'm vice chair on the Paso Robles Wine Country Alliance. I also serve on the Wine Industry Water Committee, and I actually also serve at the direction, I think, of Supervisor Hill and Meacham on an Economic Advisory Council, which is now trying to give advice. So I find myself on too many councils. But I would, one, I'd like to thank all of you. This is obviously a serious issue. I think it's, as the prior speaker mentioned, it's going to be extremely complex. And so I find myself at odds this morning. I have a 60-acre vineyard and a winery. Most of my retirement has been put into those assets, and with obviously one key issue, without water, that whole business plan comes derailed fairly quickly. So there's going to need to be a tremendous balance between clearly the wine grape industry, which is well represented here today, uses lots of water, if you look at us as to the county. But then as I serve on the Economic Advisory Committee that I'm on right now, we also bring a very clean, profitable industry to the county right now. In fact, we're being looked at. I'm on that committee saying, how do we expand that? How do we grow ag tourism? How do we bring more of these positive things? So I'm sitting here this morning on two different committees, it seems, you know, against each other to some degree. So we in the wine industry and grape growing industry are extremely committed, as you can see from all of our input, to find solutions and to use the best we possibly can of the water that's available. But to just restrict us because we're sort of the biggest target out there, I also caution you to go slow, get good information. We are extremely complex. I'm a winemaker. In some cases, vineyards that use less water make better wine. And so more water isn't better in the wine industry, but if we're growing a certain type of grape that goes into a less expensive bottle of wine, we might want to use more water on that vineyard. So this whole concept of the water in the ground and how we use it, please don't use general assumptions of X acre feet per vineyard, because I think as you learn more about this, it's a very simplistic approach to growing wine grapes versus alfalfa. In most cases, I came from Bakersfield, you want to grow the most alfalfa you can possibly grow, and putting more or less water on it does not change its economic value. So go slow, but go fast.
Made on the RCS process itself, I wasn't saying that there were new comments beyond the ones that had been received. I was speaking more in terms of having an update on the implementation of those. The Board of Supervisors basically accepted those comments, and there is some kind of work plan. And whatever we develop coming out of the RCS and its place in the RMS process will probably depend on the implementation of some of those recommendations from the generic recommendations the RAC made on the RMS. So that should be part of the picture as well as the specific recommendations on this basin. And again, I'm just interested in how the timelines intersect with this year's RMS findings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Anyone else? See Mr. Bunin coming up, and anyone else after that is welcome to come back up and ask more questions or make clarifications if you'd like. Briefly.
Like that. I do have another question.
Briefly.
Jerry Bunin, Government Affairs Director, Home Builders Association. I think it was the, I'm just following up on, I think, Mr. Merrill's point. Are there changes that need to be made in order to increase the usage of recycled water on golf courses and similar things, or the changes in county laws that need to get made? And how much water would we be talking about saving if we were able to do that, both countywide and in the Paso Robles Basin? What's at play? Even if we can't answer that today, I'd like to know that for November 9th, whenever it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions from anyone coming up since you've spoken, or anyone else who'd like to speak to this? Please come on up. Since today this is the only item on our agenda, and it looks like the commission will not be deliberating, I encourage questions as they come.
Sir. And I probably didn't articulate it as well as I'd like to at the early one. I lived in Atascadero from 1980 to just recently, and it's interesting to have bought a house there in 1980, big lawns all the way around it, two, three acres. Water was less expensive in Atascadero then, and it. One method that came about was as the Atascadero Mutual Water District ran into these challenges, they just charged more and more and more for water on a tier. And so eventually our home in Atascadero, we got rid of all the lawns. Lawns are a very big user of water. And as I mentioned to the economic side of that, there's not a lot of economic return. Obviously my dog enjoyed the lawns around our house. So. But as I moved to Paso Robles, just built a new house there at the vineyard not last year, we didn't plant any lawns just because it was such an apparent high user of water with no, in my opinion, huge return on that. So as we go forward in this process, mentioning again the golf courses, all of these things, I think this highest and best use balance between further housing development, you know, obviously parks and recreation is important to our community, but I would really challenge you to dig down to those levels of where any of this water is possibly being used. And those might be the most politically sensitive. I mean, I'll say that. You know, you asked me to get rid of my lawn, and, you know, it's a politically challenging, probably, and as I get back to this whole voting balance, I think that's where the courage of the Board of Supervisors with advice from you and your consultants, I think some of the highest and best conservation efforts that are available could be the most politically sensitive that if I was running as a Board of Supervisors would get me voted out of office. And that's what creates political courage, and I again applaud all of you for the time you serve our community on this issue. So I would ask you to really hold on to that one. Those that might be the most politically challenging to ask people to go without. But if they really say what is that water doing and how it pours back into our community as it relates to this economic balance that we have to keep, you're going to have to help us paint the picture of the future of what Paso Robles would look like when I moved here in 1976. It wasn't the same Paso Robles. And if we don't have ag industry and ag tourism, we probably don't have hotels and restaurants and all of those other things that all of us enjoy. So please try to work on that and get some really good data. If we can find where we're wasting water, but don't, again, and I'm selfish here, don't think grape growers are wasting water. I mean, we're trying to use it as best we can. We can get more efficient, but really help us find those politically sensitive, but what I would call low-hanging fruit, to see if we can find some efficiencies elsewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hoover. Mr. Plummer?
Joe Plummer, Redux, on a slightly different topic that Mr. Hoover sparked. Recently, during the ag tour that was attended by Supervisor Meacham commented on the technology that wine grape growers use to minimize water consumption and wondered aloud if maybe there was something that homeowners could do that's similar. Rather coincidentally, I have a friend that lives in Riverside
today, and we appreciate everyone taking the time to come out, and we will not be deliberating at this point. If anything else anyone would like to add, please do come on up. Okay, seeing no one, then we'll close public comment and bring it back to the commission. So starting with one of the commissioners from the district, do you have some questions for staff to prepare for the November 9th meeting? Commissioner White, if you'd like to go first.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. one question I had was on page 1-10 of our staff report. It references, and it goes to Mr. Wynn's comments about the implications to the Shandon plan and so forth. We have reference to the service area 16, Shandon in parentheses. And I didn't see any of that data in the, or they weren't included as one of the municipal pumpers in our staff report, and I just wondered why that was the case.
As I understood, you were just taking notes, Mr. Caruso, to bring back answers on the 9th.
Well, we can respond to that.
Some of those are ready for.
All of the municipal pumpers in all of the reports are aggregated under urban pumping. So CSA 16 and all the other pumpers are part of that, was it 12,000 some odd acre foot a year urban pumping from the year 2009.
Okay, I just saw Sam McGill CSD and Templeton CSD held out separately, and I was just wondering why Shandon wasn't held out along.
I'm not sure. Well, there's a tiny part of that.
I know. Okay.
But we'll make sure that we've mentioned them consistently with everyone else.
Okay, thank you. And then a lot of the questions I had have already been touched on with some of the testimony here today. I guess the big one for me is, you know, we're decision-making constraints on page 1-37, our staff report. It's an acknowledgement that there's not a whole lot that the county can do as far as the majority of the water that's used in the basin, but it does say that we have the authority over land use planning. And my question is what is the estimated percentage of the overall basin that we can control, the overall use of the basin that can be controlled? And if we can, you know, we've heard testimony here about economic ramifications, and what do you see as the benefit to implementing some of these controls versus the damage or loss that could occur with the economic implications? I think currently the urban areas that we do have control over use, is it around 15 to 20% of the overall basin?
Commissioner White, would you allow us to consider that question as part of the the next hearing, and we could figure some of those things out?
Yes, if you would include what the currently percentage is and then what the estimated, since a lot of that current percentage is existing residences and we have build out that Ms. Barrett spoke to the entitled lots. What we see going forward, how much we can actually affect the overall basin, what's left for build out. Well, the rest are deliberation notes, so I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner White. Commissioner O'Grady.
Thanks. I guess I'd like to follow up on several of the public comments that I have questions about as well. One was about adjudicated basins and the consideration of economic factors. I think Ms. Luft mentioned the 22 of 29 counties that have these plans. 22 of them were adjudicated, and I wonder if there's anything for us to learn from how those basins were adjudicated, what the issues were there, if there were any economic issues that affected and influenced influenced the measures that this county might recommend to address our water problem. So that's I have several questions all wrapped into one. Mr. Wynn mentioned recommended having special water law attorneys present at the November 9th joint meeting, and I don't know, maybe I'm naive about this, but when I read the staff report, I presume it's had some nothing to compel any memorandum of understanding that might be executed today or tomorrow, but 5 years from now could be thrown overboard, or is there some way legally to assuming everybody can get together and agree on a plan to make it have teeth? Let's see. While I'm foraging through my notes, if any of the other commissioners would like to ask questions, please feel free.
You know, I'll jump in because I did skip over one.
Okay.
And that question was on page 1-36 of our staff report. Mid-paragraphs speaks to the conservation efforts that are ongoing in Tascadero Mutual Water, Paso City of Paso Robles, and Templeton Community Services District. And were those conservation efforts or the results of those factored in the resource capacity study? I know they're relatively new, so is that something you want to answer on the 9th also?
We have to assume the answer is yes, because the information on how much water the urban pumpers are using, the forecast comes from them. So they're factoring in both, I assume, both their ongoing conservation efforts, making assumptions about how successful those efforts will be. And we also have, remember, we factored in scheduled deliveries of Nacimiento water. So that urban pumping water numbers throughout the forecast should consider both of those things.
Yeah, if we could clarify that, because I know, I don't know if the data came from 09, and I know there's been some large leaps here in 2010. The other, just to go back to one of the other questions about land use controls, if we could get also the one thing would like to have more information on is what are the specifics of those land use controls and how they may affect properties and property values that was spoken to here today also. But just to get a more precise, defined what might be proposed for those land use controls.
Mr. O'Grady, found your place.
Oh, a few of them, yes. Another thing I'd like to see addressed at the November 9th meeting is our criteria, level of severity criteria, which talks about resources being used at or beyond estimated dependable supplies. What about objective, using objective well-level data instead? And not have to argue about how many acre feet of water is sustainable or not. So that's one question. And I think one of the public mentioned difference between safe yield and overdraft, and I'd sure like another discussion about those terms. Perhaps it's in the study and I missed it, but we have an Atascadero subbasin that I think I read was a hydrologically separate portion of the overall basin, and yet a single level of severity 3 was being recommended for the entire basin as opposed to a separate a level of severity for the sub-basin and one for the remainder part of the basin. And I guess I'm not clear clear on why that's desirable or necessary to do that.
You mean they're switching to the single from the separate rating, or
well,
is that what you're asking?
Yeah, well, as I read it, premise one is that the Atascadero subbasin truly is hydrologically separate and distinct and behaves differently from the greater overall basin and could have a separate level of severity classification. But as I understood the study, a single overall level of severity was being recommended for the entire basin, inclusive of the subbasin. And I did not understand the rationale there or necessity to do that. So,
the necessity for the whole basin, or
versus
separate.
That's right. Yes.
Detail on the proposed recommendations that you have in your staff report. If we find ourselves in need of seeking outside advice, we have the ability to contract for that, and we have on occasion gone outside to receive Bennett's special advice and when we felt like we needed it. I could give you examples of that, but there are many of them. So anyway, I feel like we've got it. If we don't, if we start to get questions that, you know, really are so intricate and arcane, as Mr. Wynn puts it, that we can't deal with them, then I guess we'll have to step back and maybe take a break and get that advice. But I don't think we need it for the November 9th meeting. Not based on the recommendations that I see in the staff report. These things all would require further implementing action that's going to require, you know, plenty of time and process, and I just can't see that we need someone there trying to field those questions at that time.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Mr. Christensen, questions?
I don't think I have any questions that are particularly different from the ones brought forth by testimony today. I also wanted to agree with Mr. Melskow that I thought the comments today were especially high quality, which is always appreciated at this side of the podium, and I appreciate people making that effort to come down and speak today, even though we're continuing this item. So I just wanted to make sure you guys got that acknowledgement. I guess my questions, having been kind of honed by that testimony, would fall into four categories that I hope the staff pays particular attention to. One of them would be the legal definitions and legal implications of water law. Specifics have been mentioned in terms of, you know, overdraft versus safe yield, that kind of thing. A really important one for me, and I've mentioned this several times when we've talked about housing and when we've talked about our conservation open space and we've talked about ag, though, is are those inherent conflicts between ag, housing, population growth, long-range and the long-range planning efforts that the county is making. It seems that even I've only been on the commission less than 2 years, and it's been obvious to me that there are a number of big trains going like this and those areas. And they're, you know, ag is not bad, population growth is not bad, building houses for people is not bad. You know, all these things are important things for the county to plan on, and yet there, I don't really see a lot of actual acknowledgement and talking about how the county is planning to address those conflicts. And I think that this is an area, this time, we're talking about water, which is such a basic underlying component of all those areas. This would be a good time to really wrestle with it a little bit. It's not the purpose of this study to solve it, but it'd be interesting to see if staff has any idea of how to manage the train wreck that's showing up here pretty soon. Maybe our new planning director has some idea, having come from San Diego, where maybe some of these things have happened sooner. And then the water savings as a buffer versus making extra water saved available for additional growth or additional ag or additional whatever. I think that's a very important concept, and my reading of the reports so far, because so much is still unknown, or and is not I don't even know if they're going to be able to figure it out. In other words, why are the wells still dropping? They shouldn't be. It seems important to have the concept of buffers and kind of, you know, savings of water somehow built into some of this stuff. And you know, I'm not the expert. I don't have any idea what that even means in terms of the actual numbers. But I think that concept is important to talk about. And I certainly think that I certainly would like to know if staff has a way to actually make that encourage that to happen in as they go forward, because that does seem to be the way that what happens. People conserve it, and then other people go, oh, great, thanks for conserving. I'm going to use it for my project. And, you know, that isn't, it never seems fair, and it doesn't seem right, but that does seem the way it works, and so I wonder if there's a way to counteract that. And then the last thing that people brought up, which I thought was very helpful to focus my thoughts, was the big section was conservation options and enforcement. And again, I thought there might be some more areas where we could go with this study and with recommendations in the areas of conservation and education. And it would be interesting to find out how much we're talking about. I mean, a few golf courses, is that worthwhile talking about, or is it not? Probably
declining well levels, increasing energy consumption. I'd sure like to know quantitatively what we're talking about here. It seems like we have an idea of how much water we're pumping every year, and you know, an assortment of well levels around, and we could come up with a ballpark figure, and that would certainly be of interest to me. And then I can't recall which member of the public mentioned it, but what are the contingency plans, the buffers, the plan B's, C's, or D's? You know, Nassimiano water's been purchased, and some of the rationale I heard for purchasing that water was for buffers and plan B's, and not for growth, just in case there was contamination of aquifer for long droughts that were not figured in these assumptions. So I think Mr. Bunin mentioned developing future water sources. What are those? What does it cost to develop them? How soon can they be developed? Is it realistic?
Commissioner O'Grady. Commissioner White, do you have more questions there?
You know, the only one that jumped out at me also was more public outreach. We had at least two speakers request that and see if we can get more people involved before the 9th.
Okay, so looks like that's gone over a list. Mine has been incorporated there in the many questions raised from people out there and fellow commissioners. And thank you, Commissioner Christensen, especially for that kind of summary or kind of grouping of the categories. I also share those concerns, particularly on the conflicts inherent here, as we're making trade-offs, so hopefully staff can address some of those at the next meeting, and as we think about the bigger picture trade-offs between some of these issues. So with that, if there are no other questions or comments, what we'd like to do then is continue this meeting to 9 November. So do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Moved and seconded. So any further discussion on that? So with that, if there is none further, then if the clerk will please call the roll.
Commissioner Milskow?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Christensen?
Yes.
Commissioner Wyatt?
Yes.
Chairperson Wyatt?
Yes. And with that, we will, if there are no further comments or discussion, close the meeting. Do I hear a motion to take all the correspondence we've received into the record? So moved.
Second.
Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And with that, we will come back to this item on 9 November.